Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us as we think about your word to understand just who Jesus is and to see how that affects us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the comments you often hear about from non-Christians about God and Jesus is they're quite like Jesus, but they're not so keen on God. They think of Jesus as being all-loving, sacrificing, etc., while God seems so judgmental, so angry. People are happy to have a saviour. They're happy to have someone who always forgives, someone who's long-suffering and patient and kind, but they don't want a God who wants to rule over their lives. They don't want a God to keep them accountable or one who demands obedience and commitment. Of course, the people of Jesus' day were like that, weren't they? They were quite impressed with Jesus. He spoke so well. Perhaps they didn't quite get what he was on about when he suggested that reading from Isaiah had been fulfilled in their midst that very day. But they were amazed at just how well this son of a carpenter spoke. Of course, that was the problem. When they looked at Jesus, all they could see was the son of Joseph. He was the proverbial local boy made good. You can imagine them turning to one another and saying, "Isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't this little boy we saw growing up?" You're not even close. See, Luke has already made this clear several times over. Think about the first three chapters of Luke's Gospel. The angels tell the shepherds, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Simeon tells Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul as well." When Jesus is taken to the temple at the age of 12, he himself explains, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" Then at his baptism, the voice of God rings out, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And finally, in case you haven't worked it out yet, Luke traces Jesus' genealogy right back to God. Now, this isn't Jesus the carpenter's son. This isn't Jesus the great teacher, the wise man, the wise speaker of parables. And it certainly isn't gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Now, this is Jesus, the Son of God. Even Satan acknowledges that. And the things that he's come to do go far beyond the small town vision of these small town people. It's amazing, isn't it, how self-centered human beings can be. Here they are, face to face with the greatest person who's ever lived. And all they want is to get a buzz from seeing a miracle take place, a healing pass. All they want is to feel that they're important enough for him to do a miracle in their hometown. If you ask someone who they'd like to have to come to dinner, and most people would name some famous person, I think, wouldn't they? Someone they look up to. Someone well known. Perhaps a sporting hero or a media star. And why would they choose that person? Well, not because they think they'll be good table company or that for their scintillating conversation. There may be some exceptions, but I suggest that most people would ask the famous person so they can tell their friends the next day that they had that person to dinner. Most people's motivation will be self-serving. And that's the case here. Jesus points it out in a fairly blunt, even unkind way. You see how he answers them? He points them to their own history as a warning that God is interested in the whole world, not just the Jewish nation. It's almost as though he's giving them a warning. He reminds them of how Elijah was treated by his own people. You remember the story of Elijah that we studied last year? Elijah started out in Israel proclaiming God's word to the people, and especially to Ahab the king. But it soon got to the place, to the stage where it just wasn't safe for him to stay in Israel. Ahab and Jezebel were out to kill him. And so God sent him to a place called Zarephath in Sidon, outside the borders of Israel. And while he was there, what happened? God provided for him and for this Gentile widow and her son as well. Similarly, in the time of Elijah's successor, he says there were many lepers in the nation of Israel in those days, but there's only one leper who was healed by Elisha. Do you remember who it was? It was Naaman, the Syrian, the commander of the Syrian army. And at a time when Syria and Israel were involved in running battles. I guess a certain amount of racism is inherent in every culture, isn't it? Every culture thinks of itself as inherently better than all the others. We're more civilized, more advanced, more technologically developed, more honest, less cruel, less corrupt, more adaptable. You think of a description and it'll be there somewhere. And that was particularly so of the Jews in Jesus' time. They knew their history. They'd read the words of Isaiah that we looked at a few weeks ago. You were here, do you remember the words? Yes. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And this self-identity was etched into their thinking, into their very being. They knew God had a special plan for their nation. But now Jesus comes along and reminds them that God cares for all of their creation. Every person and tribe and nation is precious in God's sight. If God could send Elijah and Elisha, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, to people outside Israel, then he could certainly send his Messiah to those people as well. Well, that was too much for the people of Nazareth. In a moment, they change from admiration to anger. How dare he suggest that God would prefer a Sidonian woman to the people of Israel? How dare he cast aspersions on the people of his own hometown? Who does he think he is? That's the question, isn't it? Who is this Jesus? Unfortunately, they don't have time to stop and ponder that question. Now, they rise as a mob, drive him out of town to the top of a cliff where they figure they can throw him over and have it done with him.
他們根本就好像暴徒一樣,整班起來想趕他出去,甚至在一個山崖推他下去,就這樣解決了。That's
the end for Jesus, isn't it? But as I said, Jesus isn't just Joseph's son. This is no ordinary human being who can be manhandled at will, who can be disposed of when his demands become uncomfortable. Now, this is the Son of God. They wanted to see a miracle, and he performs one.
他們個個都想,
though ironically, they don't see him do it, because he just disappears from their sight. He passed through their midst and is gone. They had their chance, but they've blown it. They've rejected the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord, and now he's lost them. He's gone off to Capernaum. Because he isn't lost to the rest of the world, is he? The message that he brings, that salvation is now available to people of every nation, is a good thing, isn't it? The people of Nazareth may not have liked hearing it, but the rest of the world rejoices. Let's listen to how John summarizes these events at the beginning of his gospel. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. See, Jesus comes as the new Adam, the perfect Son of God. He comes so that people everywhere might receive the perfect righteousness that comes to those who believe in his name. Last week, I think you heard that Jesus came to bring good news, that he came to free those who are imprisoned in any way, sight to those who are blind, freedom from oppression, and experience of the Lord's favour. And now we see that freedom, that good news, is for all people throughout the world. When I look at my life, I see failure and sinfulness at every turn. But when I look at Jesus, I see the one who came to offer righteousness to all who believe. Jesus was not just a great teacher and preacher. Now, he's the risen Lord and Saviour, the Son of God who died and rose so we could be made righteous through faith in him. I pray that this year you might hold tight to that gift of eternal life, that you might want to share that good news with those you know who haven't yet received it. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to remember that Jesus was your Son, that he was God incarnate. We pray that we might share the good news to our friends that Jesus came to be one of us so that we could become one with you. And Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.